Let me ask you something. When was the last time you flew slow flight? And I mean really flew it, the way the examiner is going to want to see it on check ride day. I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about a maneuver that has changed more than almost any other in private pilot training over the last decade. And a maneuver that I see students bust on check rides more often than they should. Slow flight. If your CFI learned to fly more than 10 years ago, there's a really good chance they taught you slow flight the old way, the way they were taught. And if you walk into your check ride and demonstrate it that way, you're going to have a very awkward conversation with your designated pilot examiner. Let's walk through this together. But first, real quick, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Honestly, when you finish your check ride, and you will finish your check ride, you should have something physical to mark the moment. Pictures fade off your phone. A coin sits on your desk for the rest of your life. aviationsoul.com. Okay, slow flight. Here's the history, because it matters. For decades, the practical test standards, the old PTS, told you to fly slow flight at minimum controllable airspeed. MCA, the definition, was an airspeed where any further increase in angle of attack or any increase in load factor or any reduction in power would cause an immediate stall. So the technique was, you slow the airplane down, you keep pulling, you keep adding back pressure until the stall horn is screaming at you continuously, and then you fly it right there. Stall horn blaring, mushy controls, wallowing through the sky, trying to hold altitude within 100 feet, and heading within 10 degrees while the airplane is basically begging you to let it stall. That was the standard. For years, and a whole generation of pilots learned to fly that way. And a whole generation of CFIs taught it that way, and frankly, a lot of them still do. Then, in 2016, the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, replaced the PTS with the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS. And in 2017, they made a change to slow flight that a lot of folks missed. They changed the airspeed. Under the current ACS, slow flight is no longer flown at minimum controllable airspeed. It's flown at an airspeed above the stall warning. Specifically, the ACS says you fly it at an airspeed approximately 5 to 10 knots above the 1G stall speed. The stall horn should not be on. If your stall horn is screaming you are too slow, you are below the standard the examiner is looking for. Why did they change it? This is the part I think every student should understand, because once you understand the why, the how becomes really intuitive. The FAA looked at accident data, and what they saw was that pilots were stalling airplanes in the pattern, base to final departure stalls, cross-controlled at low altitude. And one of the contributing factors they identified was that pilots were ignoring stall warnings. Specifically, they were trained to ignore stall warnings. Because in slow flight practice, the stall horn was on continuously, and you were taught to fly the airplane right there and hold it. So the FAA said, look, we want pilots to treat the stall warning as what it is, a warning. We want pilots to react to the stall horn by reducing angle of attack every single time, without thinking. Because that reaction, that automatic response, is what saves your life when you're turning base to final, and the airplane gets slow. So they changed slow flight. Now you fly it just above the stall warning. The horn might chirp occasionally if you bobble it, but if it's blaring, you're below the standard. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The examiner is not just looking at whether you can hold altitude. The examiner is watching how you set up the maneuver, how you transition into it, how you maintain it, and how you transition out of it. And in every single phase, they're watching for specific things. Let's break it down. Setup. The ACS says you need to clear the area first. Clearing turns. 290-degree turns or 1180, your DPE wants to see you actually look outside. Not just check a box. They want to see your head on a swivel. If you do half-hearted clearing turns where you're staring at the attitude indicator, you've already lost points before you even slowed down. Pick your altitude. Pick your heading. The ACS says you need to maintain altitude plus or minus 100 feet. Heading plus or minus 10 degrees, and airspeed plus 5/-0 knots. That's it. 5 knots above your target, 0 knots below. So if you're targeting 60 knots, you can be at 60 or 65, but never 59. Never. Because 59 is below your target. And that means you're potentially in the stall warning regime. Transition. This is where I see a lot of students get sloppy. The transition from cruise to slow flight should be a deliberate, controlled deceleration. Carb heat on, if your airplane has it. Power back to about 1500 RPM, give or take depending on your airframe. As the airplane slows, you're going to add back pressure to maintain altitude. As you slow further, you're going to add flaps incrementally. The ACS wants to see slow flight in the landing configuration, so full flaps, gear down if you have retractable gear. As you add each notch of flaps, the nose is going to want to pitch. You're going to retrim, constantly. If you're not trimming during this transition, your arms are going to be exhausted by the time you stabilize and you're going to fight the airplane the whole time. Trim, trim, and trim some more. The airplane should fly itself. You should be making tiny corrections. Now you're stabilized. Let's talk about what you should actually feel. The controls are going to be mushy. There's no getting around that. At low airspeed, there's less air flowing over the control surfaces, so they're less effective. You're going to need bigger control inputs to get the same response. That's normal. That's part of the lesson. The point of slow flight is for you to feel what the airplane is like at low energy, to recognize the sight picture, to recognize the sound. The engine is at low power, the wind noise is reduced, everything feels different. Power controls altitude, pitch controls airspeed. This is the big one. In slow flight, on the backside of the power curve, if you pitch up to gain altitude, you slow down further, you increase induced drag, and you sink. If you want to climb in slow flight, you add power. If you want to maintain altitude and you're descending, you add power. If you want to descend, you reduce power. Your pitch is doing one job, holding airspeed. Your throttle is doing the other job, holding altitude. This is backwards from what you do in cruise. In cruise, pitch and power are interconnected, and most of the time you're using pitch primarily for altitude and power for airspeed. In slow flight, the relationship flips. And if you don't internalize that, you're going to chase the airplane all over the sky. Common mistake number one. The death spiral of altitude correction. Student is at 3,000 feet in slow flight, 60 knots, full flaps. They notice they're at 2950. So they pull back, they climb a little, but now they're at 56 knots. The stall horn chirps. They get nervous, they push the nose forward. Now they're at 3,000 again, but descending through it because they're too fast and they're going to overshoot. They pull back, now they're slow, horn chirps, they push, they descend, and the whole thing snowballs. The fix is power. When you're low, add an inch of throttle. Just a touch. Hold the pitch attitude. The airplane will climb back to altitude on the power. You don't pitch for altitude in slow flight, ever. You pitch for airspeed, power, for altitude. Common mistake number two. Forgetting about right rudder. You're at high power setting, low airspeed, high angle of attack. That is the textbook scenario for left-turning tendencies to be at their absolute strongest. P-factor. Torque, spiraling, slipstream. All of them are working against you. If your feet are flat on the floor, you're going to be in a slip without even knowing it. The ball is going to be way out to the right side of the inclinometer and the airplane is going to be yawing left. In slow flight, you should have noticeable right rudder pressure. If you don't, you're not flying coordinated, and uncoordinated flight at low airspeed and high angle of attack is exactly the recipe for a spin entry. The examiner is watching that ball. So, watch that ball. Common mistake number three. Death gripping the yoke. When you're stressed, you grip harder. When you grip harder, you make bigger inputs. When you make bigger inputs in a slow, mushy airplane, you over-control. Loosen up, two fingers and a thumb. The airplane is trimmed. It wants to fly. Let it fly. Common mistake number four, not using your eyes. Brand new student pilots learn to fly by reference to the instruments. That's natural. The instruments are precise. They give you exact numbers, but in slow flight, especially during the transition, your sight picture changes dramatically. The nose comes up. The horizon sits low on the cowling. If you learn the sight picture, you can fly slow flight by looking outside with occasional glances at the airspeed and altimeter. The DPE wants to see you flying the airplane, not the panel. Outside, inside scan. Don't lock on to any single instrument and clear for traffic the whole time. You are at low airspeed and reduced maneuverability. You are not in a great position to dodge a Cessna 172 that pops out of nowhere. Common mistake number five. And this is the one that gets a lot of students. The recovery. The ACS doesn't just test slow flight, it tests your ability to transition out of slow flight, and here's where I see students panic. They'll be doing fine, holding altitude, holding heading, and then the examiner says, okay, recover to cruise, and the student shoves the throttle in, lets go of the yoke, and the nose pitches up violently because all that nose-up trim they put in is suddenly working against them at high power. Here's the technique, power in smoothly, right rudder, because now your left-turning tendencies are even worse. Pitch attitude to maintain altitude initially as the airplane accelerates, retract flaps incrementally. Carb heat off when appropriate. Trim, trim, trim. You should leave slow flight as deliberately as you entered it. No drama, no altitude excursion, no heading deviation. If you balloon up 200 feet on the recovery, you're outside ACS standards on the recovery. You can fly perfect slow flight and still bust the maneuver because of a sloppy recovery. Let me give you a real scenario. I had a student. Sharp guy, instrument rated already, came back to do his commercial. We're flying his stage check before the check ride. We're doing slow flight. He was trained by another instructor who learned the old way. He sets up beautifully, clearing turns, decelerates, full flaps, gets it stabilized, and the stall horn is on continuously. The whole time, just blaring. I asked him, what airspeed do you think the ACS wants for slow flight? He told me, MCA, right at the buffet. That's how he was taught. That's how he'd been flying it for 40 hours of commercial training, and nobody had corrected him. So we landed, sat down, opened up the ACS together, and looked at the actual standard. He was floored. He'd been training to a standard that hadn't existed for years. He went up the next day, flew it the new way, and nailed it, passed his check ride 2 weeks later. The lesson here isn't that his CFI was bad. The lesson is that the standards change, and you, as the pilot, are responsible for knowing what's in the ACS. Don't just take your instructor's word for it. Read the document. The Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards is a free PDF from the FAA. Download it. Read the slow flight section. Read the steep turn section. Read every section. Know what the examiner is going to be evaluating. Here's a practical takeaway you can use on your next flight. Next time you go up, before you do anything else, do one slow flight setup. Just one. Pay attention to the sight picture. Look at where the horizon sits on the cowl. Listen to the engine note. Feel the controls. Notice how much right rudder you need. Notice the trim. Practice the transition in and the transition out. Don't rush, don't grade yourself, just observe. Then do it again next flight and again. The maneuver should become second nature by the time you're sitting in the right seat of the airplane on check ride day with your DPE in the left seat. Slow flight should feel boring. That's the goal. Boring, predictable, repeatable.
And when you nail it on check ride day, when the DPE says, okay, recover to cruise, and you do it cleanly, no altitude bust, no heading deviation, no drama, that's a moment you'll remember. That's a moment that says, I'm in command of this airplane, not just along for the ride. Quick recap before we wrap up under the current ACS. Slow flight is flown above the stall warning, not at MCA. Pitch controls airspeed, power controls altitude. Right rudder, all day, loosen your grip. Use your eyes outside, and practice the recovery as deliberately as you practice the maneuver itself. Most of what I shared today comes straight from the FAA Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook, both of which are free downloads. If you haven't read them cover to cover, do yourself a favor. They're better than any third-party study guide on the market. You can find more episodes of Traffic Pattern over at RadioHanger.com. Listen, slow flight isn't glamorous. It's not the maneuver you brag about at the FBO, but it's the maneuver that teaches you what your airplane feels like before it stalls. And one day, somewhere in the pattern, that knowledge is going to matter. Fly safe out there.